Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fake the Nation, episode 168.
I grew up in Palm Springs.
Wow, that's nice. I didn't know that about you.
You didn't know that about me? I grew up in Palm Springs.
I grew up in Whittier, which isn't too far.
Whittier, home of Nixon.
That's right.
And his presidential library, no?
It's in Yorba Linda, it's really close.
Very close.
We have some strange
origin ties. One of my best friends grew up in Placentia.
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 Yeah.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we stick the thingamajig into the doodad, and then we get a perclink. I am your host, Nagin Farsad, and I want to take democracy and throw it in the wash on an extra hot cycle, throw in some fabric softener, and then tumble dry it on low until it stops scratching my skin. Today, we are going to keep talking about impeachment in case there was anything we missed last time, or maybe we'll keep talking about it for the rest of our lives. I don't know. And we'll also talk about brain reading technology. And finally, Facebook's got a dating app, bitches.
Finally.
I know. What we've all been waiting for.
Yeah.
Today, I'm so excited by this panel. For the first time ever, host of the podcast Super Ego, producer and co-host of the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast. He's such a highly recommended man that I've just met today, but I've been so duly and highly recommended to him. What? He has been so duly and highly recommended to me. So many weird things with the English language can happen in a sentence. You guys, it's Matt Gourley.
Wow, my recommendation precedes myself. I can't. Hi.
It really does.
Excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. He's in from Los Angeles, so it's extra
just for this.
Special.
Flew in.
Just for this.
From Whittier?
Yes.
This
right.
And a little David Letterman interview or whatever. Not a big deal. Mostly this, though. You guys, the other person on this panel, I have known her for many years. She's so fucking funny, you guys. I've seen her rip audiences apart. They can't stand up straight after watching her perform.
Okay.
She's that kind of comedian.
I'm scared.
And she does jokes, too.
She's also an author who wrote a survival guide for the United States of Russia called How to Spy on Your Neighbor. You guys, it's Vicky Kupperman. Hey!
Hi, everyone. So happy to be back.
So happy to have you on the show. Okay, should we get into it with topic number one?
Oh, boy.
Let's go.
There was just like, you guys like side exhaustion. We haven't even started the show.
Oh,
and topic number one, I mean, because you guys, apparently there was another call to a world leader, this time asking Australia's president with help in discrediting the Mueller report. That conversation was also hidden in a weird archive of dangerous conversations, probably labeled corruption. Because like the White House, they might be frauds, but they are probably into organization and labeling. My first thought was, why does Donnie keep calling world leaders to ask for help in discrediting the Mueller report? That report is over. It's like he's the perfect amount of tipsy, right? But keeps ordering drinks until he gets blackout impeached. You know what I mean? Is this more noise, or are you glad to find more kernels in the corruption popcorn?
How do
bowl?
We feel, Vicky?
I'm gonna say it's like a customer service line. I'm gonna go ahead and put that in the queue. Okay, this is not a high urgent red alert priority for me because Australia also has had very weird world leaders, and I think they just cancel each other out. So I think we're in this phase in American history where we just, this may have been a big deal 20 years ago,
but now it's just like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, on top of Ukraine, were you, I guess it's not surprising, or is it, or what?
Well, I'm contending with this whole thing after being, I followed the Mueller report like, I imagine people do sports, yeah, you know, that yeah. kind of thing, like stats and fantasy. Yeah. I was yeah. so deep in this thing.
Right.
And like many
people.
You had
a fantasy league.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
I was making up stories and endings and writing the whole play.
You should work for Trump.
Sounds great. It couldn't do anything to my career. It couldn't hurt. But then when all of that sort of died down, and that happened to coincide with this last summer, I went off social media. I went off political podcasts for a long time, and I felt my anxiety levels drip down. And yeah. it was something I haven't experienced in a long time. And then this impeachment thing just sparked up, and now I'm like right back into it.
Yeah.
And I come to you shambles and a mess, and I don't know how to even articulate half the feelings I'm having right now, because it does feel significant. And I'm not happy that there's a possible impeachment going on in my country, but what it signifies, that it could possibly mean something in taking all this down, is so thrilling.
And I mean, did you, so there was the Ukraine stuff, and last week we talked about it, but we hadn't heard the whistleblower complaint, and we didn't know about this Australia stuff or whatever, and it just seems like there's just a lot of like dribs and drabs that have come out since yeah. then. So I wanted to talk about it again, but I guess I got this like mild worry when the Australia thing came out that it was going to confuse yeah. the public,
yeah.
because right now we have this really great single narrative of like there was this one phone call with this dude named Zelensky in the Ukraine, and he was talked about getting weapons, but he was asked for a favor though, and
right.
like it's so clear, it does sound like a quid pro quo.
Agree.
And you know, and so it just seems like a very clear narrative for the listening public, but when you add in this Australia thing, it's like good evidence in a trial. It doesn't need to be a headline, though, or something. I don't
it's
know.
Muddying,
I
mean,
but
muddying
it's still
the waters,
fucking
right?
horrendous, but yeah. it's muddying the waters.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's muddying. And yes, it will. It'll be another thing that we can add to the pile that can hopefully finally sink this sad ship.
Right. But because the Mueller report was damning, right?
Yeah.
It was damning. It's just that it was almost too comprehensive.
It was damning in five yeah. classical acts, like a Shakespeare
yeah,
play.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you,
exactly.
You had to know the language and be familiar. Yeah, this one is so simple and clean, but if a second one, even though it adds to the evidence, can distract from it, which is absurd right now, that's a worry.
But distract who, though? I know you mentioned the listening public. I mean, I know that we do put pressure on our congresspeople, but who, I guess it took what, 2.5 years to impeach Nixon until he resigned, right?
I think it took, yeah, I'm not sure. Even though I'm from Whittier, I don't have the exact facts.
No, my issue is that, and I am not in the business of predicting political outcomes. Obviously, 2016.
Guys, did I mention she's a comedian? Okay,
but and I hope I'm wrong because I'm not in that business. But I don't know even if he's impeached if that'll do anything. I don't know if he'd resign. I don't know if he would be pushed out. I don't think the Senate would do it. I'm very.
It's never happened in our history that an impeachment resulted in a throwing out of a president.
Right.
Only a resignation.
Only a resignation.
Yeah. So. Okay, so we're going to spend a lot of time impeaching him. I still think we have to focus on getting Democrats to vote in 2020.
Right.
I just don't think it's going to, otherwise he's going to be reelected because his diehards do not care.
You're right.
Well, the fact of the matter is it's happening, right?
Yeah.
Like we have the votes.
Yeah.
There's also evidence. It's funny, they're now collecting evidence and they're, you know, I don't know who's on your subpoena draft, but Giuliani's been subpoenaed. I'm sure Barr will be subpoenaed. And maybe like a little dirt got on Pence. So I think it's, we already have evidence. It's not even like,
that's
you know,
the crazy
the crazy thing. They're going to keep getting more stuff and blah, 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 blah. But there's evidence already. There's votes already. Right. So the impeachment, I mean, I think, I again, not in the business of predicting anything, even what I'm going to eat for dinner. I can't even predict that.
Peach.
But but I would say that the impeachment is going to happen. The question, I guess, is the political fallout, because you're right. It may lead to nothing. So like, so there's two options here.
Yeah.
No, there's three options here. One, he could resign.
Never happen.
I don't think that'll happen.
I know his ego. Because yeah. he's spending this much time trying to get other countries to discredit the Mueller report, which nobody is even talking about anymore.
Cares.
He's
so
casually
his ego,
fomenting civil war rather than resign. I mean, in remarks. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm surprised he's not, you know, talking about Obama's birth certificate still.
Right, right.
He just really gets
obsessed. He can't. Hillary's emails.
Yeah.
I turned on Lou Dobbs last night just to see. And by the way, just to see.
Check under the bed before you sleep.
By the way, would love some conservative comics here so that someone else can actually, like, gleefully turn on Lou Dobbs or whatever and tell me what is being said. We still have, if you, again, always to listeners, please tell us who all your conservative comics are.
Oh, I know a lot of conservative comics.
Oh my God, we should have this conversation.
But some
You're
of
like
them are...
the only one.
but some of them are just not out about it.
Oh, that's a thing.
Yeah. But I can give you a list.
Okay. Yeah. Let's not
it's
out
like,
anyone on
air. This is like McCarthyism.
Air.
I can give you a list,
Oh my God.
So I don't even remember what I was saying, but I was watching Lou Dobbs and I turned it on and literally the first thing he said was something, Hillary Clinton's emails.
Oh
and I was
my
like,
God.
Stop! That boogeyman is over. Dry, dusty, boring. Stop it. She's a lady in Westchester with dogs. How many times?
But part of the Ukraine call was literally checking on the server
for
Clinton's
emails.
That was
the two-parter that he wanted. He wanted the Biden stuff, and then he wanted the CrowdStrike server fucking thing.
The president of the United States didn't change his Twitter handle, and he's talking about a server? That Hillary Clinton was using, that also Colin Powell used a private server. I can't handle this. Sadly, he's just appealing to his very diehard base.
He could resign, which he won't do. Yeah. Two is the Senate could push him out. Like we could get enough votes from Republicans to push him out. I think we need
20, I believe.
Or maybe just 20.
There's 47
really?
Votes.
Yeah, there it is. And then option number three is goes to the Senate. Mitch McConnell says he has no choice but to take it up and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Like they don't vote to convict or whatever and he stays in office and then he rides it out.
Nothing happens. Merrick Garland.
Right.
Nothing happens. They get away with this.
That's a very distinct possibility.
I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. I was just about
to
swear.
My question is, and so this is the thing that's been so interesting to me about the past week, is the Republicans and the way they're doing this like hilarious verbal jujitsu to defend their president. How is it sounding to you guys?
Sounds great. I love these guys. They're convincing me. I believe they believe themselves. They're not in denial. Solid fellows, ladies, all to a man and a woman. Great Americans and patriotism and all that.
It sounds like tribalism. Which is what the problem is in this country right now.
But the funny thing is, it's not even like clever spin.
No,
because they can't
like you
say
said,
anything.
There literally is the evidence, and in many ways, the smoking gun, and they're just disavowing that like it isn't anything.
Right.
Did you hear the late breaking news that Pompeo wasn't even going to let people be deposed? He's basically saying you can't have access to any of the officials involved with Secretary of State. They're just going to not do these
things. They're
just
going to try and shut it down through weird internal mechanisms like that.
It's crazy.
We have thugs running the country.
But subpoenas are still overriding
principle, I'm worried
principle,
they're not,
no?
though.
And this is what's weird because we also have no idea because it's never been tested.
Yeah.
Right. So this is, again, the difference between norms and laws, things that we thought were totally, like, fine and established and reasonable are not actually established. I don't understand. I don't understand how Pompeo could do that.
Well, it's like what you were worried. This Australian news is going to discredit or confuse.
Yeah.
We're already there because the Mueller report was damning and Trump's election was damning and the Russians hacked us and we let them interfere. All of this has now just become white noise. So now that Pompeo is blocking subpoenas and the Senate just might not do anything because they got away with it already with Merrick Garland, like we're just complacent.
Right. But morality and ethics are
Say that again.
Not familiar.
Morality and ethics are in favor
are
of impeachment,
people?
Right? So there's a moral backbone, I think, actually happening, which is a source of which is a bright spot, I think, in this whole thing to just know that there is like a sense of morality and ethics.
I can give a slight bit of sunshine because I come from a conservative family. I was born and raised in Whittier, which by definition isn't conservative necessarily, right. But it is where Nixon spent most of his childhood. And my mom is a lifelong Republican. And when this stuff started happening, she completely flipped and said, this is embarrassing and she won't have anything to do with it now.
But she voted for Trump in the first place?
No.
No.
She whispered to me at a family get together and didn't tell anybody else, I voted for Hillary.
Wow.
And I just gave her this huge hug. And
are
now
you allowed
she's,
to say this publicly?
I don't know, because she also told me some other things that I'm not allowed to tell other people, but I'll tell you off the air.
Great.
They're
on the air.
They're exciting. Off the air. I don't know what to think. And I think we were talking about this at lunch, that maybe because the Republicans are so afraid to show any signs of bucking Trump, that what if it gets so bad that they're losing votes and they have to acknowledge it or flip? Do they get together at a dark meeting and say, we're all going to tweet we're not with Trump at 12:01 a.m.? Because
they have to do it in numbers, right?
Yes, nice Republican
must.
Thunderclap.
If you're listening, all Republicans, do that, please. Now's the time.
So I have a theory here, which is that this could be a fantastic opportunity for the GOP. Because right now, they're super stuck with Trumpism. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a weight, you know, and it's not very helpful. And I think a lot of them don't even see it. It's completely obliterated their traditional policy positions like free trade, immigration, like all these things that were Republican strongholds have just been obliterated by Trumpism, right? Mm-hmm. So this is their opportunity to, I think, save the party and kind of create that once. And I, you know, I was never a Republican, but I've never disrespected them as much as I do now.
No, me neither.
Congratulations, guys.
At least in other decades, I could be like, well, I can see how someone would be like, no taxes or whatever. You know, like I understand it, even though I don't believe it. Right.
It,
there was just like, I understand. But now there isn't even any ideological consistency within the actual policies of the Republican Party because of Trump. So what could happen? A fantastic opportunity. Just hear me out, Republicans, if you're listening. I know you all are.
You got to get a Republican comic on here and get therapy.
Right, seriously. This is what I recommend. Let's ditch Trump now, right? Maybe that means Pence goes into office. Pence is a much easier person to get behind and run in general. He's like a vanilla wafer. And you can then spend, maybe you'll lose the election. Maybe you'll lose the election. Nixon was impeached. He wasn't impeached. He was going to be impeached. He resigned. And then they lost the election to Carter, right? And then they spent some years figuring it the fuck out. And then they got Ronald Reagan.
They came back strong.
And they came back very
born
strong.
Born from the ashes.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, you guys are at a very low point. Admit defeat, like regroup, and then come back with a better fucking plan. Because this is not worked out for you or for the country.
Yeah. And also, like your mom, they lost those voters.
Yeah.
The sensible Reagan Republicans.
Not my dad.
Right. Well, maybe he's not.
But women. I mean, women. Yeah. That's a big one.
And I also think the Rust Belt, who was instrumental in voting him in, if they're not, it's 3 years in now. I don't know that times have gotten better because I don't think those people voted like fueled by hate. I think those people are like, I want to support my family. It's been dire straits, whatever, you know, because like I canvassed last year during the midterms in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. I saw it with my own eyes. All these Americans living next to each other, Arab, Puerto Rican, Jewish, you know, white, whatever. They're, none of them hate each other. They were just like, my factory closed. I don't have skills.
Yeah,
he's still paying them lip service, right? But is he doing anything
That's
concrete?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So the people that kind of screwed this election, maybe, might save it. Because if he hasn't come back, because he's a con
done
man.
Done anything for them. Yeah.
In New York, we knew he was a con man. They didn't. They just saw him as a rich guy who, you know, was like, I'm going to go drain the swamp. They're like, great, because that swamp hasn't been working.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm still looking at that election. I mean, unless Russia's gotten even more sophisticated, which think they have.
Do you know what it reminds me of? What you were saying?
Or that one 400-pound guy sitting on his mother's couch or whatever. Right. Did that one guy get more sophisticated?
I don't
know.
The Republicans remind me, do you remember the Ted Haggard preacher scandal where he was married but then was having like gay massages and it all came out? And he doubled down on his straight preacher role of like, I love my wife and we're going to go to therapy and all this stuff. Where instead, if he would have maybe likely looked at who he was and became an out gay man, if that's what he was, he would have been true to himself. He would have been honest with the world. He would have been a hero in many ways for opening up. Plus, he probably would have gotten all kinds of attention and action and living a new life. And
you mean like a bunch of like hot dudes?
Yeah.
I think that's a really excellent point because
I'm saying the Republicans could get a lot of hot dudes if they would just come around.
Absolutely. No, but I mean, I think, and that's the thing, like if you can bring in more people, like to be like a hot gay dude and be like, but I'm for limited government,
right?
People will understand that.
They'll love it.
What I mean, like, so let's take it out of the culture wars and bring it back into just straight up policies.
Yeah.
And you will become a bit. It's so funny because I'm just like, save yourselves, Republican. I don't know why. I don't care if they save themselves, but I think I want them to save themselves so that we can go back to having a healthy political discourse.
Yeah.
And so they can become a big tent party. They can let in the hot gay men who want limited government.
But they have to be hot.
They have to be young and hot.
I'm
and
sick of ugly presidents.
Gainfully employed and white.
They can, you know, they can bring in the women like your mom or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
The hot gay men can bring in women like your mom.
But they have to come together. You can bring a plus one. Do you know, why don't they bring, if they're doing Make America Great Again, why aren't they also bringing the civility and the separation of church and state and how you didn't talk politics and religion with people back in this heyday of, you know, mid-century America? Why has none of that civility come with it?
You know what? And the person who could bring that civility is one Mitt Romney. Because
I was just going to say his
Mitt
name.
Mitt Romney is, first of all, he's so very much, I was reading somewhere, they were like drawing parallels between Mitt Romney and Barry Goldwater, because Barry Goldwater also lost a big election to an incumbent president, Lyndon Johnson, right? And he then ran for Senate and won. Mm. And he was sort of like the elder statesman of the party at that time. And he was kind of instrumental in being like, guys, this Nixon thing is fucking bonkers. Let's get out of here.
And you know? Coming from Goldwater? That's something.
That's coming from Goldwater. So like Romney has a similar status where he's respected. He's respected by Democrats.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. We saw a guy in our hotel that looked just like Romney. I thought it was. And I almost felt like I was seeing Obama, because what he represents as a sanity to that side of things, I felt like I wanted to just go like, save us, please save us.
Yeah,
the graying temples, handsome
man.
It
wasn't ugly in 2012 between them, was it?
No.
I mean, wasn't that ugly?
No.
I don't remember.
I mean, I remember binders full of women. We were like,
we thought that was like the worst thing ever.
Binders full of women. Give me binders full of women. Tell me you're going to cut off PBS.
Yes. You know what one of his things was, I think, was self-deporting. Self-deporting was one of his things.
Right.
That was like him being ugly.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was, again, I'll take self-deporting over fucking,
and
you know,
Joe the Plumber or something. There was like a 47%. He gave some private 47%. Speech.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Who cares?
Oh,
but I mean,
God.
It was all thing. It was all kind of within the realm of acceptability for political discourse. Like,
right.
That's what it was. I think,
No, it was a big scandal, though, that private speech he gave to the really wealthy people, wealthy donors.
Yeah, it was like 40% of Democrats are on welfare. I think that's what it was. Something like that.
It was very elitist, which the Republicans are. They don't even realize they're voting for that, but they're told it's not because they're told that we're the elitist ones.
No.
Even though
eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
George W. went to Yale and all that.
Yeah. They're voting for coal miners who really care about estate taxes. You know what I mean? You know how coal miners are about their fucking they capital gains.
Yeah. Planned giving. They want to give to the Metropolitan Museum of Art Foundation after their death.
The coal mining wing.
You guys, please let me know what you think the GOP should do. I'm like suddenly really interested in the GOP's future. So hit me up. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk more. And we're ready for topic number two. So the computers will become self-aware and take over. That's a given, right? We know that. But before they do that, they're being trained to read our minds. Facebook and Elon Musk's company Neuralink have announced that, and there probably are others, that they're developing new brain-computer interfaces that can read neurons and translate them to words. They've already built one of them. I think it was Neuralink has already built an algorithm that decodes words in real time. Let's just initial thoughts on this kind of technology.
Well, I love how you look to me. Okay. I think that for people who can't move their bodies, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
But there's a fine. Okay. So that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of I think we're all agreed on that.
Yeah. That's a nice step. Yeah. Totally agreed. Into it for that.
Now,
absolutely.
Now, why are we three for three? So why are we taking it past that? That's my question. Anything past that, you're getting into this Black Mirror territory. I pulled up a quote from this. There was the right to mental privacy. You should have the right to seclude your brain data or publicly share it. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
What the hell? Why are we even? This is what bothers me. And when you say Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are developing blah, 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 blah to control my brain. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to go do the Walton Pond thing. I'm out. I'm unplugging.
What a beautiful Thoreau reference, guys. Henry David.
Yes, I am one of the Democratic elites, remember?
Yes, absolutely. When it comes to helping people with disabilities, 500% on board. That's where it should live.
Yes.
And that's, I agree, where it should stop. And I just want to pull back really quick before we hear what Matt thinks about this, which is that you mentioned your what was your quote about keeping your brain to yourself?
There was one in this article. It said, you know, something about it was talking about the points we have to talk about, the right to mental privacy. You should have the right to seclude your brain data or to publicly share it.
Right. So so because of this technology is being developed, it raises a whole host of legal questions, of which that is one of them. We've never actually laid out rights like the one you just mentioned, Vicky. So these are all issues that come up. But before we get into that, Matt, your initial thoughts on this technology?
Very much the same. I mean, I just don't know how you could be a human. I think the only one that would vote for anything different would literally be an AI or a computer going, I got some ideas. Yeah. Do you guys know Rocco's Basilisk? Have you ever heard of that?
What?
No, I'm really worried now.
Okay. This will
I know. It sounds evil.
It is.
Okay, I'm uncomfortable.
I know.
I'm triggered. You're canceled.
Here, I'm going to show it to you. Turn out the lights. This is a thought experiment that says one day an AI will come online that will rule all of the world and like organic life and everything like that. But it will have access to all of the data currently that we're even currently involved with now. So it will know if you've, on a podcast, say, ever spoken out against an AI or this type of thing and immediately torture you for the rest of existence, keep you alive and torture you. If, for instance, right now you were to say, no, I'm all for AI and Neuralink and everything like that, it would consider you one of the good guys because it has no emotion or empathy. It's just a thought experiment.
Oh, it's like a Dalek from Doctor Who.
I guess so. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So this reminds me of that kind of thing of here it is, like the first glimmer of it on the horizon, and then it's going to be integrating with us. And it just turns out like we are Skynet. It's not
right.
a computer. We will evolve into Skynet.
I'm not into it.
I'm so upset with everything you just said.
Me too. There's another point in this article about a woman who had seizures and had a computer. I forgot what it was called, but she had something implanted.
Yeah.
That talked between her brain and her.
Yeah, she had epileptic seizures. Yeah. So she had something implanted. Then the company went out of business.
Yeah.
And then they took it out.
But she had felt that it became part of her consciousness. Yeah. And then the company took out and owned part of her consciousness.
And she was like distraught.
Yeah. This is Black Mirror stuff.
Yeah.
This is the stuff they make episodes about where they clone your brain and then they put it into a thing that then helps you turns the lights on. But you are in that thing. You are now no longer in your brain and you don't know who's you.
But isn't this the next phase? This is depressing, but I think this outpaces evolution and actually becomes evolution, that we go bionic. And
so I was watching, it's interesting, I was watching the show, I think I've mentioned this before, because not enough people watch the show, and I thought it was fantastic. It was called The First on Amazon with Sean Penn. And I know, an A-list celebrity, still not enough viewers.
Well, you know, he throws a few punches at women, so he's done.
Yeah. I actually don't know that story, so here we go. Yeah. There it is. Anyways, I guess I did something bad. Basically, it shows the future like 10 years or 15 years into the future when we're going to Mars. And the first is referring to the first mission to Mars.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And it's what's really fascinating about it is it sort of like is predicting what's the next step. If right now we're at phones, the next step in this show is like little doohiggs that you put in your ear and then you just, everything is voice control. So it's not like mind reading, but you're not tethered to a screen. So it actually seemed more, dare I say, elegant because you, and then if you wanted to get into virtual reality or whatever other fucking dimensions, digital dimensions, everyone carried a pair of glasses and you throw on the glasses and then you see stuff anyway. So it seemed kind of like a reasonable prediction of that intermediary phase after which comes brain reading. I guess my question to you guys is, I do think there's going to be something where we're like not as tethered to phones. And I think that watches were a little bit of that, although they're kind of also clunky and maybe interfering. And I don't know. So I don't feel like watches have taken on the way that the fucking capitalist overlords wanted them to. But like, do you know anyone in your life that you think would do this and take it in the brain?
I think the way it's
take
going,
it in the brain.
Take
that
it in
sounds
the brain.
Very dirty. That
I
sounds
think the way it's going to happen is the way everything happens, is that our generation will resist it and we'll see the downsides of it. But a generation that grows up with it will happen incrementally. It'll happen faster than evolution, but it will probably happen over
because
3 to 4
generation
generations.
Is the internet, right? Like, I mean, appeal to people slightly older than us made the internet.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, kids, you guys use it. And we were like, I guess I'll make a GeoCities site, you know? And so we got on board. And it's funny because this happens oftentimes when I'm talking to Baratunde Thurston, veteran of the show, comedian that we all know and love. And Baratunde has such a love of the internet in a way that I fundamentally don't understand. It's like we're speaking two different languages when it comes to that issue. I just don't love the internet that way, and maybe not at all.
So I really am curious, in what way does he love the internet?
He just is like fascinated by all these connections, da-da-da. Like, he doesn't see he does see a lot of the ugly stuff, but he just like loves the possibilities, right? And I hate the possibilities. Yeah. I'm not into it. And so I think, like, I was thinking of my people I know, I'm not, you know, I'm just who knows what Bertone would do. But he's like someone that I could, if he was like, yeah, if I could tuck it in the brain, I'd be like, oh yeah, I can see him doing it.
Right,
just
right.
A love of like, wow, the awe, the
mystic. I used to be like that.
You know, right. And, I think that's now, what it is.
And I, but I think the question that you're asking and that we're both, all three of us are asking isn't going to need to be asked. It will just be.
Right.
So oh, that's why it won't be us that does it, because yeah. Generation, two generations from now, won't need to ask the question. They'll just be born with it, essentially.
Well, I'm hoping that human... So the internet to me is bad. Like, for philanthropy, it's good.
Yeah.
Like, I think that causes can...
Raise money?
Yeah. Okay. And they're, you know, robotic and remote healthcare is like the future. So if a physician in New York can operate on someone in a remote region in
that's nice. Yeah,
Africa,
okay. Yeah.
Who wouldn't have access because it's robotic Da Vinci yeah. method or whatever. But I'm hoping human beings will prevail even if this happens. I'm hoping that so Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg starting this scares me.
Yeah.
Because they don't care about people. But I'm hoping that this brain thing about like having, I hope this is a law that's going to have to come up and that people will actually have to vote on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like propositions. Because
so we,
I hope they don't skirt around this.
We read in, we basically read a piece in Vox called Brain Reading Tech is Coming, The Law is Not Ready to Protect Us by Sigal Samuel. So if you want to read more about it, it was fascinating. And the four areas that they point out in the article that where we need to define neuro rights
right.
Are the right to cognitive liberty. Like you should basically have the right to freely decide if you want to be given neurotechnology or to refuse it. So there is, you know, that mm-hmm. autonomy, like so that we, and it's funny because there's places in like China where they are using neurotechnologies like that and getting like data. The Chinese government is already mining data from some employees' brains by having them wear caps that scan their brain waves for depression, anxiety, rage, or fatigue.
Yeah, and they're scorecarding people.
Right.
Yeah.
What would you guys do if right at the end of your lives, you're like, you've lived this wonderful, fruitful life, and then at the end they go, we just invented this kind of neural immortality. So we're going to keep your body alive as an organic mass of tissue, but you're going to get to live on consciously.
They did that
forever.
Already in Black Mirror.
would you
they
do
also,
it?
Yeah,
would you
they
do
also
it?
Dabble in it in the years and years on yeah. HBO.
Would you do it?
No.
Would you,
no.
I don't know.
I'm into like, God.
I don't know what
so
it feels
sure
like
either.
To be about to die.
Yeah, and, but I also,
I
if you get to control what your eternity is, and maybe it's your partner and your favorite pet or child
right.
is there with you, that actually to me is not altogether a bad thing, but I feel like there's no way it could be that controlled.
Right. And right? then the thing is, it's like if you're accepting one, you're kind of accepting all of it.
Yeah.
So
right.
like if you're taking that, you know, great condo in Miami with your wife and dog in heaven,
that's the one. Yeah.
then you're also accepting all of the like neuro controls that come with the rest of your life,
yeah.
I think.
And
I
also
mean, probably.
The, yeah, and the privacy. So,
right, the right to mental privacy is number two.
If they can read your mind to move a tissue or to move a tissue box, or then can they read your mind that you know you want to kill your neighbor, and then can that be used against you in a court of law?
Are
if
you
someone
confessing?
Else kills your no, not at all.
She's just fucking talking
I wasn't
about
in the state
Minority Report. You're just like describing.
I am.
The,
I didn't
yeah.
even see that.
Oh yeah, the pre-crimes.
Yeah, pre-crimes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which is kind of based on like. The 1984, like, thought crimes, yeah. right? Number three on that list is the right to mental integrity. Like, you should have the right to not be harmed physically or psychologically by neurotechnology.
Correct.
Because brainwashing could be programmed. I mean, this is the thing with all of it.
Yes.
There's just too many. I don't have an Alexa or a Google Home or a Siri condo or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. I don't have those things. And I mean, I have a phone. You just like hid your phone as I said
no,
that.
No, because like, it vibrated. Actually, my Google Nest, I'm not even kidding. As you said that, my dog moved. So my Google Nest told me there was motion detected. I'm not even joking. It was just too much for me.
See, that's okay. So you have one of these things. I'm not even at the point where I can have that in my home.
I have
feel
them too.
I have it to watch my dog sleep because it gives me It's like net positive. Like, yes, they're controlling me, but at least I get joy watching my dog sleep.
I have
and I know joy is one of the things
sleep.
We're talking about today.
I'm just kidding.
That is very not creepy at all. Not creepy.
What is that, John Huston movie?
We do watch each other go out to get the paper because we watch together because it is so weird to watch yourself self-conscious, just go do a menial task.
Hold on. Where is the paper? Where is this camera?
How is all of that happening?
It's just a front porch camera.
So you installed a porch camera?
Yeah, I live in LA.
Screw off. You have a porch. You have a good life.
I know. He's a fucking, Mark Zuckerberg
don't
over here.
Don't even say that to people in New York.
Wait, don't you, do you guys have a stoop?
No.
I don't have a stoop.
I actually have a balcony. So.
Okay. You got one up on me.
Vicky. Yeah. But so interesting. You installed a thing for intruders or whatever?
Or just like if we're away and we see that there's a package that has come or something, it just sits on our doorstep. So before
someone steals it, you can be like, Bob from next door, come.
We also had a series of thefts in the neighborhood. There's like a burglar.
Crime.
Male crime. Anyway, but we watch each other sometimes and it's so funny to watch yourself from behind go get a paper. I can't explain it. Yeah. It's really funny.
That's what I look like when I'm just not thinking.
Yeah, I walk like that?
Yeah, I didn't know I had scoliosis.
What's really interesting about this whole scenario, though, is that you receive a printed paper version of a newspaper.
I do.
That you are then tracked through this digital device that's recording everything you say or do.
But how quaint that you read the newspaper. We got so sick, like I was saying, after the Mueller report, the anxiety level was so high that we started taking our news daily by paper.
I like that. I am into it. We're a little behind, but it was like
that is the
calming.
Whitest thing I've ever heard. Our anxiety was so high after the Mueller report. We started taking our news by paper. That was great. That was really good. That was really good.
I think it's older than it is white.
That's true.
The fourth thing in the Bill of Rights that they want us to consider, the right to psychological continuity. You should have the right to be protected from alterations in your sense of self that you did not authorize.
Correct.
And so you mentioned that epilepsy story, which was really fascinating. And she said, I lost myself once they took this device out. I lost myself. Another way that things could be manipulated, which I think is of all of the shit that we read, the most likely thing is neuromarketing and ways in which you fucking took it in the brain. You got a chip. And there's these gentle nudges that they know you fucking bought a pair of stilettos from fucking Nine West.
Yeah, I did.
So they know that about you, Matt.
Yeah.
And every time now that you walk by a stiletto or whatever, it'll give you a gentle neural nudge. And that's neuromarketing that will happen so subconsciously, you think it's your own fucking thought and it isn't.
That's frightening.
That is, I think, the number one way that this thing would be used.
I don't want my brainwaves to have a thing. No.
Because it's already happening.
It's already happening with
the
internet, right?
Yeah.
Because you'll say something and then it's on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And my friend at one of the big tech companies that rhymes with Moogle, who works there, was like, yeah, totally, we are listening.
See,
personally, I'm listening to you. That's what he said.
He's like, literally, I know you, that what you call your dog and all that.
See, that is really, I think what's also frustrating about all of this is the level of indifference that it inspires.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think it's so, I feel like it's so world ending for me.
Right.
And then it seems like for America, I mean, I'm sure there's many people like me in America, whatever, but altogether, we're not out there protesting.
No, people are only indifferent after it's too late and they've suffered the consequences of it. Same thing with privacy.
They've bought so many stilettos that they cannot
explain. Oh my God. I'm Imelda Marcos.
Nice reference. Good reference.
There's a fucking Henry David Thoreau in this episode and Imelda Marcos. Yeah. You guys are the same.
We are.
All right, you guys. Let me know what you think of this brain technology and would you take it in the brain? I'm so curious to know. I'm sure it's completely unsurprising to you that I am a hell no on that. But please, explain why you would take it in the brain. And again, 500% appreciate and agree with any technology that would help people with disabilities. All right. I just want to clarify that more time.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Let us move on to topic number three. Okay. dating these days means swiping right on someone but not knowing anything about them. It's not like back in the day where you met someone at a party and you like had a mutual friend and then, you know, you were set up by each other's mutual friends or whatever it was. There's like no context when we're dating now. Well, Facebook is entering the scene with an answer to Tinder and Bumble and all the other fucking apps that I don't know their names. The Facebook dating app promises to algorithmically match people according to their geography, shared interests, events, and groups. What are your just first reactions to that?
You're looking at me now, Vicky.
Well, I thought Tinder was a Facebook app. I did not know it wasn't. I am from the Match.com days.
Me too.
Like on the internet.
That's where I know you.
That's right. That you didn't pay. You didn't pay for our first date. So I did not. I don't understand what they're announcing that's new. Because even if Tinder's not a Facebook app, isn't it connected through Facebook?
No. I mean, oh, right. It is. Does have a Facebook connectivity for your age
friends,
and your
mutual
name?
Friends.
But it sounds like Facebook wants to kind of get back to what Match.com originally was, which is more of a like thorough profile
right.
and kind of connection on interests and stuff as opposed to a right. picture.
And Match.com, you had to join as a dater. Facebook has all this info from us living our lives for the past 15
right,
years.
Right, yeah. right. And I think that's which they want to say is the benefit of Facebook. So like, I never did Match.com, but I did OkCupid. Mm. I also did Tinder for a minute and I found it like unsatisfying. So whatever.
I found it unsanitary.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I want to fuck a dude off of Tinder, but it's just like, I just didn't. Tell me what your favorite book is though. You know what I mean? Like before I fuck you. So what I think Facebook is trying to do is to take it even a step further than the OkCupids and the Match.coms did and you really use your friend, like taking it from your friend's base, right? So like or group or whatever. And also using an algorithm. So like if you're going to a particular event, there's another person who's also single who's going to that event. So then that person would be kind of like matched with you or you would know, you know, you would be, I don't know how it worked, but that you would notice that person somehow through the app. And I think, so I mean, there's like two things. First of all, Facebook has a shitload of information about us.
Right.
So in that sense, it would maybe be more accurate than any of the dating sites.
Right.
Right? And like matching people, I feel like there's that opportunity. Two, I mean, we can set this issue aside, but I do want to mention it, which is that like, why does Facebook have so much? Why are they doing so much?
The brain. Cryptocurrency thing they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
But isn't this kind of a moot point? Because who really uses Facebook anymore? Our parents have taken it. They can have it. It's theirs now.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to date and cheat and get divorced on Facebook. That's what's going to happen. None of
which,
us
you know,
would.
And the funny thing is like Facebook is after the 20 and 30 year olds. But right. I think the people most likely to use a Facebook dating app are the elders, except for they're only rolling it out on phones, maybe to try and,
I was going
to
ask, are they rolling it out on Instagram? Because Instagram's 20s, 30s.
I don't know.
Because Instagram's owned by Facebook.
They did say that eventually they were going to use Instagram stories to go
populate
to your dating profile. Yeah, so people could kind of see what you're up to.
I don't know. You know what? Didn't it start as guys rating girls? That's what it started as, right?
In Facebook?
Right, that's right.
So it's kind of getting back to its roots.
Yeah.
It would be nice if it like went for a circle and then just kind of went off into space and we didn't have. I'm so against it right now. I use it because it's like a necessary evil as comedians and performers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm off it.
That's good for you.
Did you delete it?
I just deactivated it, but I haven't been back in forever.
See, that's how I feel about Twitter. I've tweeted like one thing in the past 3 months. After that girl got like Dina Haysham and the whole thing, I was like, I'm done. I can't do this right now.
I don't even see. I was
well,
off.
Well, anyway, we're getting off topic. Fine. We'll tell you.
I think, okay, but there is one feature on the Facebook dating app that I think was pretty good.
Secret
I think
Crush?
Here's the Secret Crush.
It is good. It
yeah,
is good.
That's cute.
Guys,
I
so what crush?
For that.
What
oh,
is that?
Yeah.
My God.
What is
yeah.
that?
Like, I'm a taken lady, but how would I love to be have a Secret Crush app like from back
is
back
that real?
Day?
Yeah.
It allows you to identify up to 9 people of your Facebook friends that you have a crush on, and no one will know unless they also identify you.
But how can I trust Facebook won't tell them?
Well, they're being Facebook trusting. Put
They've
that
never
in,
done okay, anything okay, wrong. Okay, okay. I don't
put
know what you're
aside.
Talking about.
Put yeah. that in its own cubicle.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's a fantastic feature.
And they raise that question of what if you put 9 secret crushes and 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 come back at you. First of all,
9
good job.
Dates, Party. Motherfucker.
Good
9
job.
Dates.
And the people you want are coming back. But what do you do? Yeah, and you go on 9 perfect
yeah.
ideal crush
yes.
dates.
It's oh. called The Bachelor. And then you eliminate one by one.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
perfect.
The best feature.
That's cool.
Hands down the best. I actually think, okay, if I was single, I would maybe even rejoin. And I didn't have if I deleted my Facebook, I would maybe even rejoin for that one
Same.
Feature alone.
Because right. I have never been good at making the first move. I'm always kind of just slow moving. And that just to know that there's interest on the other side would mean all the world. Because I otherwise would just be too afraid.
What if it's, okay, I guess, as long as the people are honest and they're not using it as a joke, and
oh,
then people's feelings would get
you're
hurt.
Right, but that would happen.
Oh, that's,
I feel like that would happen
sad.
In the comedy community.
It would.
Yeah.
But in the civilian, like,
probably
human beings
to guys,
would,
yeah, I got a crush on you, yeah. Bill.
Or someone would do it for someone's friend, like
yeah.
sneak on there.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
No,
exactly.
But in the human beings with beating hearts, like, community,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, beating it, hearts. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I think yeah. that it would be used. I don't know.
It's
I'm not,
cool.
And it's funny because I am not trying to, like, promote this dating app. I don't care about Facebook, you know, like, surviving in that way or, like, succeeding or whatever. But I think the thing that I like about this idea, and forget that it's Facebook, which is the idea of a dating app that's actually based on human beings
right.
and their interests and their friend group, is that it will lead to better matches, but it also, like, it kind of encourages intensifying and deepening human relations. So
right.
it's like, you're going to this event, here's this other person also going. Like, I think it would lead to more in-person stuff. And then it also will diminish the swipe left, swipe right gamifying that
right.
has happened with dating apps. I mean, it's gotten to the point where everything is just about a fucking picture
right.
and like what, you know, and like a one line, you know, a log line of you as a person. And it doesn't make any sense, actually, you know, because the way you react to a human being is you're firing on so many different levels. And that's how attraction is formed.
Right.
It's mysterious. And I think that, you know, that places like Tinder turn it into this ugly thing and make it seem like we have an endless supply of people we can swipe through.
Right.
But it shouldn't feel that way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's more natural this way. It's definitely more natural. And Facebook started, I think people at first used it to just go to events together, like you said, and like meet up.
Yeah.
And then it became a communication, and now it's just gone off the res. It's just.
I mean, do you remember the early days of Facebook, like what social media was? I remember feeling so excited,
yeah.
like when I got a friend request. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
And it was
yeah.
like someone I kind of knew.
Could have been a secret crush.
Could have been a secret crush. Like those were the fun
those
days.
Fun.
And I think there's like, if there is hope for the internet, if I'm Beartude Thurston and I think there's hope for the internet, that it's that. Can we revive that feeling of like, oh, I'm connected to this person. That's great.
I wonder if it could ever split in two where that kind of world has their like internet utopia, but then it would become corrupted in some way or something. I don't,
yeah, like it's just not possible
yeah.
for it to survive as an internet utopia.
No.
Like it inevitably cycles into the garbage bin that we're in.
Oh God, there is no hope. Are we talking about joy today?
So my question for you though, my last question for you about this is like, so Facebook has all this fucking information on you. And if you were to go on a date with someone, they would know yeah. far more than they would on any of the other dating apps. Would you be comfortable walking into a situation? Basically, my question is, does contextless dating, has that been a problem for you? Like, is that a problem that needed a solution or no?
Well, I haven't dated in a while because I've been with the same person almost 9 years.
But like back in your Match.com days.
Yeah, it is a little, I don't like small talk. I'm Russian. We don't do small talk. and repeating my story all the time is exhausting.
Yeah. Interesting. Or is it refining a bit?
In a way.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you, like, it's cynical, but you get the opportunity right. to present the right. best version of yourself.
Our engineer, Andy, is, like, nodding her head so yeah. hard. Like, yeah, we're finding a
but
bit.
But by the I'm eighth date, I'm like, yep, and that's where it's born. That's where I'm just going, yep, divorce, you know, whatever. Like, if I dated again, if I got divorced or something.
You just have, like, a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah,
you know?
It would be nice if I was like, oh, you didn't do your reading homework? It's all on Facebook. You didn't scroll? Come on. Like, don't make me repeat myself.
Turns into a quiz they've... Would you be comfortable, Matt?
I think I'd be comfortable, but I think I'd miss finding out first person when someone tells you something and you realize, oh, we have that in common. Mm. You see eyes and there's you share a moment of, well, joy, which we're going to talk about, right?
So, which we're actually, guys, it's not going to be in today's episode.
Of course not.
So,
joy. I feel like anyways. Every episode of everything.
So,
in
Harry's
going
to have to fucking cut this out.
Sorry,
but anyway,
Harry.
So continue on with your point in as if you didn't say that.
Well, I think if you discover something when you're face to face that you wouldn't have known on Facebook, there's a moment of like joy. That,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That I remember those being nice moments when you first, I know when I met my wife, there was a ton of those.
Yeah.
And they are like the bricks.
Yeah, butterflies.
Yeah, you can't get virtual butterflies. I mean, you can, but it's one
at best. But they're fake.
Best.
They're fake. Yeah. They're
I
not
still think
same.
You can get them. I don't think you can know everything about someone from a Facebook profile.
It's like the whole thing with the follow-up questions.
Yeah,
so
no,
I know this about
true,
you.
True.
Right.
Now tell me more about it.
I think
that would be assuming someone put their entire life on Facebook.
I think there are some controls about like what other people can see in the dating app or whatever. And I also think personally, I'm always of the, I never Google people. Like I don't want to know anything. I never Googled them when I was dating them. I never, ever, ever did that. And I continue to not Google people. So I just don't want to know. If I'm going to know a person, I just want him to be
right.
I want it to be an IRL, spill it out.
That's
let's
nice
fucking
and
know
rare.
This. And I'm not tempted. It's just something that I don't, I'm, you know, I, but I think a lot of people are tempted.
Yeah.
And so they sort of like get just too much information about a situation. You know, we're in an age of information overload, and this is one of the types of information overload.
The thing that I think is good is that if you have some mutual friends that are actually mutual friends that you wouldn't know about, you can be like, you know Jesse? Oh my God, Jesse's so crazy.
Run.
And then you break the ice.
Yeah.
Or like, I just think that's fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you, because civilians, non-comics, are always like, oh my God, we have four mutual friends. And I'm like, this is not news. I have like 7,000 mutual friends with people.
It's like a big deal to
me and you, Vicky, probably have like 700
exactly.
mutual friends.
At least. I think it's in the thousands.
I mean, it must be. All right, you guys, please let me know if you're at all moved by this new Facebook dating app. What are your qualms? Are you looking for love? Do you want it to be this app or no apps? Or what's the plan, guys? Tell me the plan. I want you to have your love. You guys, that is the end of the show. How do you feel?
I actually feel pretty good. That I kind of like that discussion of where things went. Shit, that was the happiness one. You go first.
I feel like I'd like to protect the rights of my brain.
Rights of your brain.
And again, if you can't move, I would, anyone who needs it, who's not able-bodied, use it. But I'm not into nano. I'm not into a brain chip.
No.
Nagin, no.
We are firmly anti on this podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to start a legal practice of brain rights.
Okay.
So I will represent you.
Oh, this is so useful.
Yeah.
This is a really useful thing to come out of this podcast.
Freeway billboards of me up there with a giant brain.
And I think I could, I am not optimistic he'll be impeached, resign, or be pushed out, but I could deal with Pence for a year.
I could deal with
but
Pence
for everybody, a year. Please, canvass, vote.
That's what it's
get
about.
Get behind whoever is not Trump.
That's what it's about.
That's what it's about.
All right, you guys. I would love for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow you and all the amazing things you do. Where should they do that?
A Vicky Cooperman with a K-U-P, like Superman with a K. Instagram, Twitter if you want, but I won't do anything on there. I do pictures on Instagram. That's better to digest.
I'm at Matt Gourley, G-O-U-R-L-E-Y on Instagram and Twitter, and mattgourley.com. And I guess when this is coming out Thursday?
Yeah.
So there's a new season of Super Ego coming out on the 9th. And Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend returns on the 7th. And in Myers We Trust, the podcast miniseries with Paul Rust about Halloween comes out on the 11th. So it's back to school for me.
Oh, wow. My God.
I know.
It's so been podcasts.
It's been a busy month or so.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah. Well, guys, you know where to find me and all the things that I do. And, you know what? If you're around this weekend, I'm going to be... this week, yeah, October 5th and 6th, I'm going to be at Joe's Pub doing a show called Still Asking For It, which is like a comedy about rape culture. It'll be interesting. They've done it all around the country, and I'm guesting, and it's very exciting. But I really would like to thank the production team here at Fake the Nation. That's our producer, Harry Nelson, our talented audio engineer, Andy Christens. Gabby Alter wrote our theme music, and Lily Fleshler helps with research. And you guys, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us your feedback, topics you think we should be chatting about, guest ideas. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-770-4981 or drop us a line at comments@faiththenation.com. And if you like what you hear, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps people find the show. That's like proven to be true, unfortunately. Okay, you guys, we'll be back in your ears next week. Goodbye. We did it.
Yeah, that was awesome.